Right, what I'm going to talk about, I think I play the role of barbarian today from something close to the front line, working with people in reality. So if it's a bit feet on the ground, sorry about that. But Declan, perfect segue, thank you. It is all about people, and it's very much about changing processes and the way we work. And that ain't easy, especially if you think it's in the NHS. Okay, so I'm not going to dwell on this. I'm going to shave a bit of time off here. We all know in this room what the problem is. It's rising demand. It's actually comorbidity now is one of the major drivers of cost. But I thought I'd share this one with you in case you missed it. It came from the Health Foundation in November. 14.2 million people is the extrapolation of their survey, and it was a big survey. But what it means is that one in four of us in England, adults, have got two plus long-term conditions. There is no avoiding the problem of comorbidity. So what does the tech do? Yes, it transforms care outside hospital, enables that to happen. The service has to scale. If you're in the consultancy business, and I know there's one or two of you in the audience who are in the consultancy business, you're limited by the size of your business because of the number of bodies that you've got to hire out. The NHS and care is not that different because care is a human being business. And we, when we get ill, like to be talked to by a clinician. The digital can take the load off, and that's the load of the boring stuff. So if we can do that, that's our contribution, and we can use our resources more effectively. Enough. Whoops, the right button. So we do two things. We have two platforms. We have Artemis is our population health system. So we take data from hospital, GP, community, mental, social care, and we pile that into a great big database. You've heard a couple of talks already about population health. I won't go over the basics. The basics are consistent, but I'll touch on it in a moment about what it actually does for the people in the front line. We also do telehealth, which is an electronic intervention. Of course, population health goes across the piece, and you can work out what interventions might work for a given cohort of patients, whatever you decide to do. One of the interventions could well be electronic. So looking at the Artemis system, our population intelligence, who's it for? And forgive me for rattling on, but it is for management and clinicians. It has two functions. So one is, what is my prevalence? You heard Aaron talking about the Wirral earlier. Where are the people? Which are the practices that have got which problems, etc., etc.? So you can do all that analysis. For the clinicians, it's about choosing the right patient. Now, in telehealth as an intervention, one of the economic outcomes that we know so well is that you have to identify the right patient to get on the intervention, to get the right economic result. Obviously, if you've got the wrong patient there, you're not going to win anything. Over the years, we've been doing this for 17 years, so thanks, Liz. Yes, we've stuck at it. And as somebody said to me in Liverpool, you guys have got stickability. I think all we can claim is we're still here. If we identify the right patient and we give them the right solution, we get the cost right, then we're starting to intervene accurately. Now, the population system can be used at an ICS STP level. You can use it at the interim level, whether that be CCG. Primary care home, it's really good for, because we start to escape then the limitations of information governance. So if it's primary care home and you've got a cluster of GPs working together, they can get real patient data straight away. There's no faffing about. Then, of course, you can go down to the practice and individual patients. So this system will give you a very comprehensive picture of that individual, both from a health and social care point of view. So you can start to ask questions then. What do your patients cost? Why are they going to hospital? Do you know? Do we take the assumption that their primary diagnosis might be COPD and that's the entire reason they go to hospital? No, it ain't. And the clinicians in the room will know that. But you can start to see this really interesting data coming out now. And then you start to think, maybe we need to measure a few more things. And it can be coding, etc., etc. We haven't got time to go into all that. Okay, so we know what the key patients are based on their risk, their activity, their cost. But you can track the outcome. If you make an intervention with these patients, you choose your cohort or the individuals, you decide to do something, then you can track the individual and you can evaluate what you've just commissioned real time. So every month you can get a report out that says, is it working, is it not? There's a business case function in here that says, well, look, if I've got an intervention, I've got CQC wasn't that good on my diabetes, I'm going to intervene on that, I'm going to increase what I'm doing for that. You can look at the costs, you can look at the outcomes. Month on month, it will tell you whether your intervention's working or not. And you can prove everything to the CQC, Uncle Tom Cobley and all. So this has got real value. Are patients receiving the care that they should? What's the point of a new intervention if they're not already getting the basics off the NICE guidelines? And okay, we haven't got time to go into it now, but GP day job is that you might not slavishly follow the NICE guidelines. We understand that. But this will give you a guide. End of life care and palliation has been a big subject as we've rolled this out. And Karen's in the room, I think, still. A nod to SBRI. It's the SBRI program that funded some of the core development of this system. In that, end of life care came up. If you've got cancer, your process into end of life palliation is pretty good across the country. If you've got a comorbid condition patient, then your access to end of life care and whether you end up on the end of life care register, blah, 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 and you're receiving the care that you should, probably not as good. So that's proved a great value. And one of the GPs we worked with in the programme said, oh, hang on, if you're collecting all this data, can you give me a snapshot of it? Because when I call next patient and the patient's walking down the corridor towards the consulting room, I can have a quick look, quick shifty, and decide what this patient's got, and I start to understand their life, their context. Keep rattling. Okay, telehealth, probably most of you know remote patient management, but in concept at least. Patient at home or in a care home, collected data on something, tablet, smartphone, specialist device, web, doesn't matter, goes to a big server in the sky, the data's collected. That data is then displayed typically to a hub unit, which is typically run by community nursing teams. They will observe it, and what we're collecting is physiological data, blood pressure, pulse ox, you name it, or symptoms. And most of the time, the nurses are collecting symptom data, and it's a mix. So we're asking patients the questions, or you can call it a care plan if you like. That data is collected, they can see it, and then typically, again, some form of community nursing intervention is the phone call that happens, or the phone call goes to the patient. And then you get into the dirty detail of how do you monitor patients remotely. If you can imagine yourself sitting at a screen at a call centre and you see something going wrong with a patient, then what? And that's when your protocols and your processes kick in. And when I talk about changing the ways of working, it's what I mean. Okay, so the nurses out in the field, if they're armed with a tablet, they can see that patient's record. Again, in practice in care homes, the nurses tend to know the patient. Oh, I don't need to go and see that patient today, I'll do it tomorrow. Better rattle on, time's pressing. We can apply the same technology to hospital. And here, we're pointing out a few specialist conditions that consultants will directly care for the patient with. So cancer, cardiovascular, inflammatory bowel, you name it. We're in discussion at the moment in Liverpool with various hospitals. So with Clatterbridge, we're talking there about cancer care. We have a chemotherapy program running. And at Clatterbridge, we're now talking about immunotherapy, which is a whole new sphere, and it's fascinating. Liverpool Royal, we're talking about post-discharge monitoring and outpatients as well to take more of the burden off the acute. So we can have remote consultation so that the patient doesn't have to go into the hassle of coming in. I could go on for ages. We're doing something similar at Aintree with motor neurone disease and collecting ventilator data for non-invasive ventilation, blah, 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 blah. Right, so you can do lots with this technology. Right, one of the things that the NHS has to do is to give reasonable equality of access to the whole population. So we have a variety of tech, and yes, it's not really about the tech, so I agree entirely with previous speakers. It works, you can virtually ignore it. It's how we use it that matters. So, yes, medical devices enables community productivity gain because we are, as they say in Liverpool, We've got rising demand. We've got no more doctors. There are no more nurses. What else do we do? We're investing in digital. What's the alternative? It's nice and simple, but there you have it. And really, the great game that we're all engaged in here is promoting self-management. We've heard it earlier. Declan mentioned PAM scores. Come on to that. But if we can help people take a bit more interest in their own health and show them what the results are of their own personal intervention, fabulous. We're getting on the way. And we can increase people's PAM score. And a little bit of electronic intervention can help that. Right, in Liverpool, we're working there. We're also working here in Lancaster with the test bed. I'll talk a little bit about one of the local doctors, actually, who's really, really keen on this stuff. He was a sceptic, but he's now an absolute enthusiast. So next year, we'll get up to about 4,000 or 5,000 people who will benefit from a remote patient management service. So we've got a population of 500,000. We should be intervening with about 4% on average, if you think of that population health triangle. So roughly 20,000 people is the target for Liverpool CCG. Same sort of system. I'll rattle on because time is pressing. But we've also got integration with GPs, about 90 practices. Interoperability is so important because I can say this here, and I'm not blowing smoke, but in Liverpool and in Lancaster and Lancashire, it really is a partnership. And you know when you're working in collaboration with people because everybody just listens, they understand each other, and we work out the best way of doing things and changing things, it works. And so in Liverpool, delightful crowd to work with, but getting the messages out to the GPs and getting them a link through to the clinical screen as well, it's all there. So what do the clinicians see? Well, that's a typical sort of a display. It's just an example. But at the top, you've got the physiological readings like blood pressure, weight, and so on. And down here, the symptoms. And the symptoms, do not underestimate them. They are a science in themselves. I haven't got time to go into. But that's what the nurses look at most of the time. And then there's a phone call out to the patient. And a simple phone call to a patient is so valuable. Talking to people, engaging. They know that somebody's looking after them. The nicest comment I got from a patient once was like, this is like having my guardian angel, because she knew that somebody was looking at her healthcare and then intervening when necessary. Right, press on. I thought I'd share this with you. So looking into the detail of what happens when you're actually doing this stuff. Over here at the top there in Liverpool, we've got full monitoring. Then there's a step down. There's a light touch version of it, and then there's self-management. And what we're trying to do is encourage people to use a smartphone or whatever it might be. But at the full monitoring level, they're getting monitored virtually every day if they're really quite ill. Okay, and then you step it down, a little bit less intervention, a little bit lower cost. And that happens after about 5 months, maybe six. And then you get further down to self-management, and the people stay on the system. So if they deteriorate further, you can step them back up again. Lots of stuff to talk about, haven't got the time, but it's a sophisticated system, so you can engage in messaging, video, la-da-da-da-da, and you can do surveys. So we can do anything you like. Euroqol, HADS is very popular. You can use this system for medication compliance and indeed PAM scores as well. This is from Liverpool in October. It's 144 patients who responded to the survey question. I thought I'd share it because it's really rather nice. Improved confidence to manage your condition. Yes, 76%. This stuff works. It doesn't work for everybody. You know what reality is. We're dealing with the full spectrum of humanity. Some people will go for this, some less so. So, last question, so what? So, we have to save time, capacity. We've got to scale. There's no point tickling at this. I learned in a business school many years ago. One guy gave me a pithy little statement I've never forgotten. He said, if you want a dramatic improvement in results, you better be prepared to take dramatic action. True, pithy, nice one to remember. And it's lovely to hear people now talking about there's no point doing pilots anymore. We've got to do this at scale if we're really going to impact the system. Oh, so what does it take? Well, I'm repeating what's been said before. It's the right people. It is about collaboration. But to change ways of working and to get process change really done and embedded, you need champions. You need people who want to do this and will do it. and it's all about change management, and that really is not easy. So at Liverpool now, they can say, well, we're monitoring 1,000 patients with just 5 people. Now, that's 3 nurses and 2 HCAs. And the capacity is doubling, so next year it'll be 2,000 at any one time. So next year in Liverpool, we'll get through 4,000 to 5,000 patients who will be on the service. Now, Mark Denver, the local GP here, he's chuffed to bits with it. He reckons that the technology is saving him about 20% of appointments. It's not precise science, but that's his feel. He's got a little bit of evidence and he's trying to improve it. He's done some AF work using the tech as well. Patient last week had a heart block, straight to hospital, pacemaker. And last point, he had both of his, he's monitoring these patients in the practice, about 120 of them. And the nurse practitioners were away at the time. So he did the monitoring himself. He said, you know, I got through 120 patients in 2 hours. That's not bad, that is it? It's the kind of thing he can do. Okay, hope your bum's not too sore. Thanks for listening.